Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. It's Belinda Ellsworth here, and I'm so excited about today's guest. We have Alex Goldstein with us, and Alex is a top producing real estate agent and has acted as investor, developer, and principal in over $50 million of land, commercial, and residential real estate transactions. Alex is the best-selling author of three real estate books, including Home, Inc., co-authored with New York Times best-selling author Brian Tracy. He also writes for the Huffington Post and has been featured in articles in the New York Times, Newsday, and the Wall Street Journal. It's really my pleasure today to welcome Alex to our show. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Belinda. Thank you so much for having me on today. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm so thrilled and excited about all the things you have to share with our audience. So why don't you just start out by sort of filling in some of those gaps and just tell us a little bit more about yourself, about your journey, and how you got where you are today.
Sure. Well, I live in Scottsdale, Arizona, and I was here through the boom and the bust. And the bust certainly clipped me pretty intensely. And when I was kind of looking for something that I could do in the downside of the economy, I realized that I had learned so much in terms of the investment and development that I had done that it would make a lot of sense to represent other people, because I had hired a lot of agents and I didn't really feel like they were always doing the best work for me. And I thought, well, I could do the job for people that I wanted done. And so that's what I did. And I built an agency business very quickly coming out of the worst parts of the economic cycle. And today it's a thriving business. And as you mentioned, I'm an author and I've recently released another book. And that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Great. Well, so then why don't you just tell us a little bit more then about your business and about the services that you really offer to the end consumer, and what would our listeners get out of reading maybe one of those books? What would be a big takeaway for them?
Sure. Well, the latest book that I just wrote is No Nonsense Real Estate. And I wrote it because I live and work in Arizona and I'm licensed in Arizona. So I can help people here, but anybody in other places, there's nothing that I can do for them directly. So I put together a book that contains the most important information that people should know in order to get the most out of their real estate transaction. And it's not designed to make you an expert. It's not an encyclopedia, but it's basically enough that you ask the right questions, hire the right people, and don't make really expensive mistakes. And one of the reasons that I was excited to speak to you is because, your listeners are here to learn how to work from their happy place. And for most people, their home is literally their happy place. And so we should make it, the best that it can be to get the most out of life and to not have it be a source of financial stress or a drain on our lifestyle.
So I know that when you and I talked on the phone the other day in our pre-interview, you were talking about some of those skills that you offer is just a little bit more about the right type of real estate. Or, it's one of our biggest assets that we have. And I thought that was very interesting in looking at it through a different lens. And that's really the case with most people, is what lens are you looking at this through? So as much as it is a place that you want to enjoy being in, but it's also an individual, as you said, their greatest asset. So do you want to speak to that a little bit more?
Absolutely. So there's a lot of, personal finance gurus that are out there, and people spend a lot of time and energy thinking about their money, their investments, and in many cases making, very small decisions to try to improve their finances. Don't go to Starbucks and save a few bucks a day and things like that, where people are really looking out after their pennies. And I think that's great, but, as you mentioned and as we discussed, for most people, real estate is the biggest financial decision they'll ever make in their lives. And yet very few people even take the time to read a book and to understand the process. And so if you're making the largest transaction of your life and it's hundreds of thousands of dollars, you've got to figure that even if you're outcome is only 5% or 10% worse than it could be, that's a significant amount of money. And it tends to compound over time. So what I'm doing here is telling people to seriously consider becoming educated so that they can protect the most important asset in their lives and also hopefully get a better lifestyle out of it at the same time.
That's great. So tell us then a little bit about how the business has shaped your lifestyle.
Well, the reason that I work in real estate is, as I like to say, I'm unemployable. So I need to work on my own. I really value having the freedom and flexibility to set my own schedule and to not be in a routine. And, you know, everybody's different, but for me, that's really important. And so what I enjoy about what I do is I get to help people avoid some of the mistakes that I've made. I help them make profit and find a great place for their families. And I don't have to do it in a way that is routine. You know, the challenges that everybody has are unique. And so I'm creating a different solution for everybody. And we're just working together in a way where, even though it's real estate every day, it feels very different from day to day because there's always a new challenge.
Great. One of the things I like to ask all of people that interview on the show, because I think this is a really important one, and that is, what do you feel are two of your greatest skill sets that have helped you succeed in having your own business?
Well, one of the most powerful things that I've done to build my business was to become an author. And that's why I have done multiple books. And I always tell people that if you meet an author, you'll very rarely meet an author who's only written one book, because after the first one, they start to see the benefits and all the great things that happen, and it becomes a habit. So I encourage anyone who has a business in any field, particularly if they're offering high value products or services, to publish a book, because it really does a lot for generating great relationships with clients, and not just making sales, so to speak, but having people really understand how you work and feeling like they're on the same page. So that is definitely one skill set of writing and publishing that's been important. And the other is I would say communication and persuasion, and just getting out there and being able to talk to people, listen to them, understand their needs, and do the very best possible to negotiate a deal that's going to meet as many of their criteria as possible.
Great. Well, I'm gonna make you go down this rabbit hole a little bit further, because
sure.
I've written a book, and there are definitely skill sets that are involved in writing that book. So it's easy to say, well, I think being an author. So I think that being an author is something that is certainly helped you in your business. But what skill sets do you think that you possess that helped you be a successful author? So what do you think those are?
Well, it comes from having some degree of writing skill. So the first, book that I wrote, I just sat down and wrote it. And I mean, that's the way I do it. So I'm fortunate to have that writing skill. And if somebody were willing to devote the time to developing that skill, I would encourage them to do it. And if not, and they want to, skip through that, then of course they can look at contacting a ghostwriter. So you can either, develop the skill to do it yourself, or you can pay someone to help you do it. But either way, you want to approach it, I think it's something that's really valuable for people's businesses.
Do you carve out, an hour a day, I dedicate to this? How did you go about, did you choose to self-publish? Did you choose to find a publisher? What was the best route? Did you get a literary agent? These are all questions.
Sure.
You know what? I'm just trying to help you to help our audience. Because if you go to write a book, everybody thinks they have a book in them. I believe that 90% of people believe they have a book in them. And and for 90% of people, or I'd probably say 50% of people or 60, they probably do, right? It's taken a level of expertise about something that you have or an experience that you've had that someone else can relate to. A really good example. I had a really dear friend, and she had both her parents had passed away in a pretty quick period of time together. So then that left that whole entire estate. And then her in-laws passed away almost at the exact same time. So,
oh my goodness.
I know. Very, very traumatic. But she's dealing now with a very inexperienced person, with two different people, and they were really different circumstances. One was just kind of like their estate, but then there was, you know, all the funds and the house, and they didn't really have a will. One of them had a will, however it was. I mean, it was extremely complicated. I mean, this is how people's lives go. And so she said, oh my gosh, this year of my life, I feel like I've been a full-time person learning this stuff and fast as hard as I can. I've made not smart choices along the way and then probably lost money along the way or got taken advantage of in this area. She's like, I could write a book on this. And I said, because that's what people do, right? I said, you should write a book on this, because how many people are sitting going, I don't know, all of a sudden my parents have passed away. And prior to that, do they have this in order? Do they have that in order? Like, where is their stuff? Like, it even made me go to my parents and go, okay, if you died tomorrow, where am I going to find your information with your bank accounts? And do you have that locked up somewhere? Is that in the case? And where do you keep the key? I mean, like, just really, like, little detail things like that. But you know what? She never did. She was very passionate about it when she was going through it. And yet, I think about, gosh, that book could have helped thousands upon thousands of people that don't ask the tough questions or don't know what they're going to get into. And yet, she didn't. And why? Because she doesn't really know how to get from point A to point B. And that, it's a confusing step. So not to belabor this whole point, but I love what you're sharing. But do you have any insights at all for anybody listening on that?
Sure. Well, I think it's important to write about something that you're committed to, not just the process of having the book, but to the process of getting it out there. You know, I mean, for instance, the conversation that we're having today and the time that I'm spending, you know, talking to people about it is to spread the word, because it's very competitive. And so, you know, I did self-publish, and I like self-publishing because it's fast. You know, it's very instant gratification compared to working with, you know, a big publishing house. And you're also subject to somebody's whims. You know, maybe someone at the publishing house doesn't think it's going to sell, or they're not interested, or whatever else. And so for me, you know, I want to be in control of the process and to have it go as fast as I want. But it is important for somebody to recognize that if you're not committed to actually, you know, sticking with it after it's published, then it's probably not going to amount to much. Because even if it's the most valuable information in the world, you're counting on the world beating a path to your door, which isn't realistic. So in the case of your friend, you know, she may have gone through something that was really traumatic and difficult, and she probably learned a lot of lessons, but she wasn't necessarily committed to all the work that it would take, or the expense if she chose to hire someone to help her, to do it and to getting out there and to, you know, really beating that drum, so to speak. Whereas somebody who's in the industry, you know, may be much more willing to continue to write about the subject, to promote the subject, to talk to people about the subject. And that's what's really critical. So I would advise people to be, you know, certain that the topic is something that they're really interested in for the long term. Otherwise, they're probably not going to get the results that they want. And then you had asked about how I wrote the book, and everybody's different. You know, there are a lot of people that I think thrive on, okay, I'm going to write for 30 minutes a day or something like that. And if you've never written before, then that's almost certainly the way to start. For me, I'm more of a rip the Band-Aid off kind of a guy, and I will just go into the library and hole up, you know, for several days or a week or whatever it takes, and get out the first draft. And then once I have the first draft, you know, it's much easier to edit and go from there. But I think that people really just need to find their own way of doing it. And you just measure the output, you know, mm-hmm. keep yourself to a number of words in that yep. draft. And if you're not seeing that word count go up, then you got to change the way you're doing it.
Perfect. Thank you. So share with us then one of your most outstanding accomplishments or something you've achieved that's super meaningful for you.
Well, I had a family that I worked with who they had lost a home to foreclosure in the downturn. You know, they basically, the bank wouldn't work with them, wouldn't renegotiate the loan, and they had some, you know, gigantic increase in the interest rate. And so it just became untenable. And their credit was wrecked as a result of it, and the banks really wouldn't touch them. And so, you know, as a family, they had three kids, another kid on the way, and they're living in a rental and just really not enjoying their life the way they felt like they could if they found a great home. And their requirements were pretty strict too, in that they're really into modern architecture and they wanted to own something that was architecturally significant. So it was kind of a one in a million type of deal, but it took a tremendous amount of tenacity to find the deal, to negotiate it, line up all the parts and make things happen for them. And it was really, really gratifying because it's the house that they'll live in for the rest of their lives, raise their kids in. And, you know, they just said flat out that this was a one in a million deal that would have never happened without me. And, you know, that sort of thing is really gratifying. And it also is I think it teaches a lesson that no matter how much adversity there may be in your circumstances, if you have a clear focus on what you want and you're tenacious, you really can get there. And so the lesson for people is to maybe not settle so much when it comes to the circumstances that they're going to accept for themselves and their family.
That is really great advice. And I would say tenacity is definitely the key to that. You cannot give up. We had a similar situation, not that we had lost our home. We had just bought the home and it was on a construction loan. And then we still had our other home that hadn't sold because the market had collapsed right in the middle of that. So we own two homes now. And my biggest home is on a construction loan at like 10% interest. And I couldn't even get a traditional loan on that because the bank is like, we're not giving loans and you already own another home. So right. It was hard. And I would say that it took me a year, and I'm not lying on this, and I, you know, still run my business, but there were days to the bank and to the person who said they were going to be able to help me with this, I would get on there and I would literally call at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I would sometimes be on hold with hold music on one of my lines playing on speaker one day for an 8-hour day until somebody answered at like 5:01. I think they were like, is there somebody here? It was like by accident. And then that person actually was able to help me to get to the next stage. But if I would have just said, oh, forget it, it's not ever going to happen, it was thousands upon thousands of dollars in interest that was being just flushed down the toilet, that it took me a year to get that fixed. But if I hadn't have, I'd have been looking at that for that much money lost probably for about 5 years, because it took us 5 years to sell that other house. So I just really agree with that. There's a certain amount of tenacity and always saying there is a light at the end of this tunnel if I keep searching for it. I think people quit searching for it.
I think you're absolutely right that I think is the most important takeaway, really, is that a lot of people just don't even know enough to know what they don't know. They don't know the questions to ask. And that's why I wrote the book, because it's like, I don't want to try to make people experts in things that they can't possibly become an expert in from just reading one or two books and not having real world experience. So, you know, don't try to become that, but just know what the options are. You know that there are things available to you like seller financing if you have, you know, some problems with your financial picture. You know the right questions to ask and know how to hire the people that can help you so that you're not just stuck with sort of, you know, the second string team. And I think the outcome can be so much better, because what I want to see happen is to not have people run into the problems like you ran into and I've run into and, you know, my clients have run into before they found me, which is to say, protect yourself, you know, think through things intelligently, manage the downside, and you won't ever be in a position where you only have bad choices.
Right. So on the opposite end of that spectrum, can you share with us a huge obstacle that you have faced and then how you worked through that to see it through on the other end?
Well, I mean, the biggest obstacle really was the downturn of the, you know, real estate cycle. I mean, here in Arizona, it was just incredible. We lost, I think, about 45% of the value of properties in about 18 months. And, you know, I had a $50 million portfolio of real estate, and I just couldn't move quickly enough to get ahead of the cycle. It just took a lot of time for, you know, especially if you have something that's under construction. You know, you can't just stop construction in the middle and get rid of a property. So it was really difficult to pick up the pieces. I mean, there were, you know, dealing with lawyers and, you know, partners and accountants and just endless problems. And so it was really difficult and ultimately became an emotional challenge, because once you get through all that, it's just exhausting. And so for me, the way that I overcame it was to give it meaning, to say, okay, you know, I've learned a lot on the upside and I've learned a lot on the downside. And if I just walk away from real estate tomorrow, then all of that experience doesn't mean anything to anyone, doesn't help anyone. But now, because I've done that and I'm positioned in a way to help so many other people. And so that's the way that I overcame the obstacle, was just to give that experience meaning. And I think that that's, you know, good advice for people, no matter what kind of obstacle they go into, because otherwise something bad is just something bad and you write it off and try not to think about it. But if you use it, then it can actually make you a better person and make the world better.
I think that is super great advice on any level and on any area of your life. So I would agree with that 100%. So what advice then would you give to others who want to be entrepreneurs? I think that that is the dream. You know, you talked about the lifestyle and in your happy place being flexibility and doing what you want on the time you want to do it, not having a routine. And I think that's, if I were to ask anyone what they love about being an entrepreneur, the number one thing is that flexibility. It's pretty much consistent across the board. It's between that and being able to create your own level of income. Like, those are the two biggest answers no matter what. And I ask that question all of the time. So if that is it, being able to create the income I really want for myself, if I want to work harder, I can make more. If I want to work less, I can make less. But it's also tied hand in hand with that flexible schedule, being able to take off the days I want to take off, to get up and decide what my day looks like. So knowing that, what advice would you give to people who are truly saying, gosh, I love that lifestyle. That is the lifestyle that I would dream of.
Well, I think the most important thing is for people to recognize that there is a cost to this freedom and flexibility. And it's that you don't have any safety net other than your own skill and your own business assets that you build. And so what I see a lot of times is people have a vision of wanting to get this freedom in their lives, but they don't think through the fact that they're going to be trading off some of that freedom up front for freedom later. And you have to work really hard to get to that point where you can have more freedom. So in a sense, it's be prepared to take a step backwards before you are really going to move forward. And the best analogy I can think of is a rocket ship. And, you know, rocket ships expend something like 98% of their fuel just getting out of the atmosphere, because, you know, once they do that, then there's no resistance of air and they don't really need much fuel and they can coast on inertia. So that's the attitude that I think people should have to their business, where if you're going to start your own business and you don't have something to work with, it's going to take a huge amount of energy to build that business and to build the inertia, and you're going to have less freedom first. But then once you've created something where you have systems and processes and a reputation, then you can enjoy a lot more of the benefits that you wanted when you first got into business.
I would agree, and I love that analogy. That's a great analogy. And I think that there's two things in there. Is I think most people aren't really willing to put that work in. They have an idea and they just want it to be easy. And it is a lot of work. It's a lot of energy. It's a lot of dedication. But I would say in that also, there's a certain amount of, and I put these two sort of together, belief and risk. You've got to believe enough in yourself that you can see it through. And people, because I think doubt just gets in people's ways, and the doubt then causes them not to take the risk because suddenly the risk appears too great. And you've got to believe in yourself, believe in your idea, then you've got to put the hard work in and be willing to take whatever that risk is. And I think most people just want to leave a 9-to-5 job, have the same security of a 9-to-5 job. They don't want to work much more than the 9-to-5 hours, but they, and we all know that when you're really doing something, I mean, people look at me all the time and look at my schedule sometimes, and it's not like that all the time. And when I want to take time off, I take time off, but there's days where I get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and I'm talking, you know, at 1 o'clock in the morning to the folks in Australia. And I just work my cycle all day so I can get all those different people in their time zones, and people go, I could never do what you do. But yet they want what you have. And that's where I think the disconnect is for people. They look at somebody else and they want the good things that they have. But when they look at their workload, they're like, I don't want that workload. So it's really being able to work hard, but believing enough in your idea and being willing to take that risk of, I am going to have to give up a little bit. It's going to be worse before it gets better. It's going to be harder before it gets easier. I'm going to make less money before I make more money. I think all that sort of goes hand in hand. Would you agree?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think there's a lot of naivety around building a business because there's such a culture now around startups. And, you know, I mean, it's much more in the cultural zeitgeist to talk about building a business and being successful than it maybe was a generation ago. And so there's all kinds of, you know, noise and nonsense that's out there. And there is almost certainly going to be a lot of work. And one caveat I would give to what you had said is, you know, you need to believe in your idea, but you can't believe in it in a pig-headed way. It has to be something where you put all of your effort in, accepting the fact that there's just risk in everything. And even what you think may be the greatest idea doesn't matter until the market proves you right. So for most people, if they currently work a job and want to start a business, the right way to do it is to be prepared to spend a lot more time working and to make sure that, you know, they're spending the evenings laying that foundation. Yep. And doing what they can and really having some legitimate market feedback, not friends and family, but really knowing that, hey, I've got something that I can sell that people want before they quit their job. And if they haven't proven it in the marketplace to some extent, then, you know, they're really just opening themselves up to a world of pain.
I could not agree more. And research, research, research. And I think that people do just go to a couple of friends and go, what do you think about this? And of course, their friend is going, oh, yeah, yeah. But it's learning how to do a greater broad spectrum research.
It's not even research. It's sales. You know, if you can't make, you know, any sales of your product or service while you're hustling at night, then I think you should consider that a blessing that you didn't quit your job.
Absolutely.
And find out that you can't make any sales.
Well, you know, it's funny because if you ever watch the Shark Tank, and I like to watch it just to see people's ideas more than anything, but sure, it always comes down to the end. That's the main question that they ask before anybody invests, and their idea is, well, how much have you sold so far? And most people are like, well, I haven't actually had any sales yet. Then you can see their eyes right then. They're like, okay, you're done. Because it's an important piece of it. You know, is it sellable? Is it marketable? Is the idea valuable, you know, viable? So I think that certainly is good advice. So what exciting things are you working on right now that you'd love our listeners to know about, benefit from, and then let people know how they can find you, Alex?
Sure. Well, right now I'm working on my real estate business here in sunny Scottsdale, Arizona. So that's taken up a lot of my time right now. It's high season and it's just the best time of year to be here. It's like 78 degrees and sunny. So we're not planning to leave town for several months, just enjoying it here. And then we usually go to Europe in the summer. My fiance is from Sweden, so we typically go there to visit friends and family, and that's what we're planning to do. And in the interim, I'm just going to be working here locally and then continuing to promote my latest book And if anybody is interested in it, they can get a free chapter by sending their email address via text message to 772-BOOK-NOW, or they can visit the website nononsensebook.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule today for our listeners. I know they appreciate it. I do as well. And thanks so much for being part of Work From Your Happy Place.
Thank you, Belinda. I hope this was helpful for your listeners, and I really greatly appreciate the opportunity to speak to everyone.
Great.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends, and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.